Does it matter what we believe? That's the title of the message this morning. And I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We need to ask a question, having already asked the question which forms the title of this particular sermon. And that question is, does our belief change the truth? When we get a call that one of our loved ones has died in an accident, we just can't believe it. It doesn't change the fact. When we are told that a medical condition exists within us that is life-threatening, we just can't believe it. But it's still there, and it will affect us. When the horrific actions, such as the terrorist attack on 9/11/01, and the Twin Towers of New York City and other places occurred, we did not want to believe it, even those of us who had seen it on the television. Nonetheless, they did occur, and the devastation was quite evident. Therefore, our beliefs do not change the truth, but it does matter what we believe because, number one, our beliefs determine our actions. Number two, our actions have consequences. And number three, happiness results from believing and doing the right things. Hebrews chapter 11 is the Bible's great chapter on exemplified faith. Therein we are introduced to several Bible characters and their behavior. We are told that they behave the way in which they did due to their beliefs. So we then see a strong correlation between what we believe and how we act. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, for instance, we see that we must believe that God exists and also that he rewards those who diligently seek him. This is exactly what those Old Testament characters, which are recorded for us in Hebrews chapter 11, did. They believed, hence we see their behavior. If we could seek to follow their examples, then we first need to begin with what we need to believe. Let's compare this to today's religious world. In today's religious world, there are many who say it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you love God. There are those who say it doesn't matter what you believe so long as you love one another. There are those who say that it doesn't matter what you believe, that God will be merciful because you're a sinner. Therefore, there are many inconsistencies in today's religious world. They will firmly proclaim that it doesn't matter what one believes, and then they will expect certain correct behavior. It doesn't work that way. Expecting someone to behave in a certain way is expecting them to believe certain things. It matters what we believe because, number one, our beliefs will determine our actions. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. We will see that we do act according to our beliefs. Abel, the second born to Adam and Eve, acted according to his beliefs, and for this he was killed by his older brother. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. What we see here is that Abel had been instructed, and we do not know exactly in what way he was instructed or exactly how he was instructed, but we do know that because of his belief, he acted a certain way. And when he acted a certain way, he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than did his brother, who no doubt had received the same instruction. because of that, he lost his life. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, we see that Noah acted according to his belief. Now, there's no doubt that people thought that Noah was crazy. Here was a man going on about the destruction of the end of the world. He was building a boat of all things up in the mountains. Now, everybody knows you don't build a boat in the mountains. You build a boat down near the ocean or near the water where you can get it in the water. But not Noah. And for 120 years while the ark was preparing, he continued to preach. We don't know the exact content of his message, except perhaps that it was that the world is going to come to an end and there will come a day in which God will say, get on the ark. I'm making enough room for everybody. Come on. He made the ark according to God's directions. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. What did Noah believe? He believed what God said to do. God said, Noah, build an ark. Build it this way. Use this kind of wood. Do certain things to the inside and the outside. Provide one window, one door. Make it this long. Make it this high. Do these things. And he did those things. He did so because he believed. And so his belief determined his actions. Consider Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, where Christ rebuked the Pharisees following their accusations that Christ was casting out demons by Beelzebub. Of course, he told them that if he was divided against himself, that he would not stand. But he also told them in verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Notice this next statement. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What was Jesus saying to these Pharisees? He was saying that which is inside will come out. And it will come out in your speech. And we also know that it will come out in our actions. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. We can see clearly here that what we believe, or that which is in our heart, controls how we act. We are told there, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If we believe the right things, we will act correctly. If we believe the wrong things, we will act incorrectly. Consider, if you will, Matthew chapter 15. Verses 18 through 19, which testifies that the things of the heart, or those things which we believe, come forth from a man in the forms of words and actions. And Jesus was telling these people this so they might understand, that they might replace those improper things within their heart, those things which they believed improperly, and would replace them with things that whereby they might think properly and in accordance to the law. He says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Look at verse 19. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. Where does it begin? It begins in our minds, and it comes forth in our language. And then furthermore, produces actions, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. And so we see from this that different beliefs determine different actions. Some beliefs determine what we trust. Who or what we trust determines other beliefs. We want to trust the right things, don't we? I do. Therefore, we don't want to trust the wrong things. Think for just a moment about the beliefs of witchcraft, sorcery, astrology, idolatry, materialism. All of these things that are in the world, that are of the world, in which the world diligently participates in, and ask yourself if you want to participate in those things with them. If we believe in these things, these all replace God as the source of our trust and confidence. Some beliefs determine how we worship. If we worship correctly, then God will be pleased. If we worship incorrectly, We will be then offering vain or empty worship. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, it tells us what brings about vain worship. He said it was the teaching of man's doctrine. Matthew 15 and verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And so when people get up and they say it doesn't matter what you believe, you can believe what Professor Joe over here says, or you can believe what Dr. Bob over here says, or you can believe what anybody says, or you can believe what you want to believe, as long as you believe, you're going to produce vain worship. Because you're following the doctrines of men. Again, consider Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4. Abel followed the teaching of God, and therefore his sacrifice was acceptable. Cain decided to do his sacrifice his way. I'm going to follow what I think is best. You know what? I don't like the way that God said to do it. Or I don't like what God said to sacrifice, or whatever the case was there. And therefore I'm going to do it, and I'm going to feel good about it. The truth of the matter was, when Abel was justified because he had given the proper gift and in the proper manner, it caused Cain not to feel good. And what he believed provided the actions that followed. The result was disastrous. Cain was wroth, and as a result, he rose up and he slew his brother. It's interesting that there were four humans on the earth, and they couldn't get along. One of them rose up and killed. And not only did he kill another human, but he killed his own brother. Why? Because he refused to follow and believe what God said to do. Some beliefs determine how we personally behave, just as it did in the case of Cain. And personal behavior is important to an orderly society. What if we didn't have laws? What if there were no laws? Perhaps, just think, just for a moment, before you drive home this afternoon, that there were no laws of the highway. No requirement that you stop at an intersection. But no requirement that the guy coming the other way stop either. Now perhaps, if that's the case, I should be in the auto body business, because there'd be a lot more wrecks. Personal behavior is important to an orderly society. Offensive behavior creates disorder and confusion. Therefore, we are not to behave inappropriately. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, speaking of love, gives further proof that our thoughts prompt our actions. Particularly in this verse, it says that love doth not behave itself unseemly. In other words, it behaves itself properly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. If we have love in our hearts, we will behave as though we have love in our hearts. Since what we believe dictates how we act, it is indeed extremely important what we believe. Number two, our choices or our actions have consequences. We see that we act based upon what we believe, and then consequences follow our actions. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. We will see that there are results for our actions. The Bible there tells us, be not deceived. Don't let anybody trick you. It also tells us that God is not mocked. But look at the last part of this. This is what I want to focus on. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What is this saying? It's saying that our choices have consequences. Our actions have consequences. We do not live in a vacuum. We do live in the world, but we're not of the world. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul, under inspiration, condemned the sin within that congregation and yet made it crystal clear that we cannot totally isolate ourselves from the world. There's a television show on right now called Under the Dome. I've seen it a time or two. And this dome automatically, mysteriously appeared and it isolated this community. Totally isolated this community. They cannot have any outside contact. They can't even talk to one another except for by sign language and writing things down and showing it to the people on the outside. The church is not to be that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. He wrote, I wrote unto you an epistle not to accompany with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. If we were to totally isolate ourselves, we could not fulfill the Great Commission. It's impossible. Who are you going to save? All of the saved are in the bubble, or on the dome. You can't reach those on the outside. So we need to understand that as we interact with people, our actions have consequences. The consequences of our actions also affect the lives of other people. For each and every action we choose, good or bad, there is a ripple effect in the world. There's an idea that a butterfly wing being moving creates a little turbulence in the air, and eventually that thing is magnified and it becomes a great wind that catches the water and creates a tsunami that flattens the country. I don't think that to be the case. But we need to understand that there is a ripple effect in the world. So-called innocent fun isn't so innocent when one considers the potential consequences. When you stop and think about it, most sins seem to start out relatively harmless, but end up costing much more than originally intended. What about the unwed mother whose life is completely upended and changed because of one night of fun? When the emotions run amok, when inhibitions are cast aside, when they decide to play house, they find themselves playing house for the next 18 years or so. Consider the vegetative son or daughter who thought that just one party where they participated in drinking, or just a little drugs, maybe just one time, wouldn't hurt him or her. I personally know of one who, it was said, as he laid there in a coma, that he decided to try cocaine one time. For some reason, there was a severe chemical reaction within his body. And I heard that sometime later, his family decided to disconnect the life support, and he was no more. What about the family denied their right to live because the driver, who didn't think he had too much to drink, got behind the wheel of a car? These are all consequences of wrong actions that started with the wrong beliefs. I'm okay, I can drive, I'm good. The Christian who lives by the rule of love will choose his or her actions accordingly. They will choose them carefully. Now, that doesn't mean we will not make mistakes. That does not mean that our actions will always be pure and perfect, but we'll make less mistakes because we're thinking about it. We're living according to the rule of love. Love compels us to have the right beliefs, so we will have the right actions. This is what it means to be a responsible individual. In Romans chapter 13, verses 7 through 10, Paul informed the Roman brethren, and also how that we might obey God and be responsible. He says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law for this. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And somebody might say, well, you know, all of those things were in the Old Testament. I submit to you, when Paul wrote this to the Roman brethren, that Christ had already died on the cross. The New Testament had already replaced the Old Testament. And therefore, this law is binding to us that we must love one another. And therefore, let love control our actions. God, because he loves us, tells us what is right and wrong, so that the thoughts of God, as revealed in his word, can take place within us. The psalmist, for instance, in the 119th division of the book of Psalms, gives us insight to the thoughts of God as revealed through inspiration. Let's look at verse 9. Psalms 119, verse 9, asks us a question. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And then it gives us the answer, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. We put God's word in us. It affects how we think. It affects how we act. Verse 11 provides yet another answer, or how to do this, a testifying that our thoughts direct our actions. He says, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. In verse 105 of Psalms 119, we see how that the word can be used to keep us going in the right way. Not only do we use it to cause us to think the right things and do the right things, but it also helps us to see the way. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Why? Because thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we see that our beliefs will determine our actions and that our actions have consequences. But we also need to be aware of the fact that happiness results from believing and doing the right thing. There's a lot of people that are unhappy in this world today. They can't understand why that they are so unhappy. They don't realize that because of the way they believe, they act certain ways. And because they act certain ways, it may bring about unhappiness. In John chapter 15 and verse 11, Jesus taught so that those who believe could have joy if they will but obey. It is important we understand this. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That's why Jesus came, so that we could have happiness in this life and in the life to come. Now, that doesn't mean that every moment of our time we'll be happy here. But if we believe the right thing and do the right thing, the consequences will be good. We have joy from knowing the right way to live. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 28, where Peter and the 11 stood before those people of Israel following the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and preaching the first gospel sermon following the death of Christ, said these words, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Correct belief brings us hope as well. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. We see here the expressed desire of God as declared by the hand of Paul in the letter to the Roman brethren as he was guided by the Holy Spirit. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Correct belief brings us joy regarding salvation, as indicated in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, which is written to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, where he through the inspired word said, whom having not seen, ye love. Speaking of Christ. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You need not tell me that Christ does not live, or that Christ was not here, or that Christ did not provide the sacrifice, because I have the Holy Word of God, and it testifies of Christ. And because of that, I can have happiness. There again, happiness results from believing and doing the right things. There's a lot of people that are happy, and they say, well, I have beliefs. And I know that my beliefs control my actions, but I'm still not happy. Perhaps maybe we ought to think about what it is that we believe. And then ask ourselves the question, why am I not happy? Correct belief brings about joy to others also. We can see this in 3 John verse 4, in which the apostle refers to those to whom he was writing as those he begat in truth. They were as if they were his children. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What is it that they were walking in? They were walking in truth. Where is that truth contained? In the word that was given by the Spirit to those selected to pen the words of God. Consider, if you will, the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are ye. Some of the versions that are used say, happy are ye. We know that the word blessed means happy. And happiness is that which we are considering at this point in this sermon. But these were blessed or happy when they thought right and when they acted right. When we believe the truth and live our life based upon the truth, we can rejoice that our actions will have consequences that God intended for them to have. And we will not realize the consequences that are for the evil or for the wicked. You know, it seems very unfair in this life that those who are wicked, those who are evil, those who never darken the door, seem to get ahead in life. All the breaks seem to go their way. All the bad breaks seem to go our way. It's kind of like the old song on Hee Haw, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony is me. Or something of that nature. That's the way a lot of Christians look at things, because they're not happy. But what do we have not to be happy about if we believe the truth? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from sin. And if we are free from sin, then we get to enjoy for eternity existence with God. If that doesn't make you happy, something's wrong. What a great reason to rejoice. Stop and consider how unhappy we ought to be when we realize that we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. It should make us strive to believe the right thing, do the right thing, and therefore being happy. Does it matter what we believe? It's very important what we believe. Our actions are based on our beliefs, and consequences follow from the action. And then happiness results from believing and doing the right things. And when you believe what is right, when it comes to your soul's salvation, you will do the right thing. What do you believe when it comes to your soul's salvation? Do you believe what some man has told you? Do you believe the religion of your fathers? Do you believe just because you think it's a good idea to believe such a way? If that's the case, check out the definition of happiness and see if it applies to you. We have shown that we do directly, what we do directly depends upon what we believe. Now let me ask you this question this morning. Relative to salvation, is what you believe what the Bible teaches? Have you done what the Bible teaches? In regard to salvation, the Bible tells us what we must do. It tells us in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33 that we must hear. It was said, immediately therefore I sent to thee, that thou, and thou hast done well that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God. And it tells us why they were present before God. To hear all things that are commanded thee of God. We are told in John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus himself said that we must believe. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 tells us that we must repent. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 tells us that we must confess, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 gives us another prime example that we must be baptized. Paul had done all these other things. The question was asked of him, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. When a person has done those things, they have done those things because they have believed those things. And when they have done those things, those actions, they realize the consequence of those actions, they are now a child of God. And as a child of God, they have a home reserved for them in heaven. It's terribly unfortunate that at times folks don't realize the next step in the gospel plan of salvation has to remain faithful unto death. The latter part of Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." And some people just ignore that. But hopefully we have time to wake up, to believe what God's word says, and abide by what is found in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, if we have forsaken God. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." It does matter what we believe. It matters what we do. And it matters that we're happy. Believe God's plan of salvation and obey it. You can do it now. You can do it today, while together we stand and sing the invitation song.